Morning, everyone. Welcome back to the regular work week, and it's Tuesday already. That was fast. Okay.
School?
If you don't see the tie here, you know it's a Simon Brewer. They have tests today. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Today's daf and daf nida is daf ches. We are continuing from yesterday's daf, and it really is a continuation of yesterday's Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah together yesterday. Pshitas Rabbi Eliezer, as not to be confused with Rabbi Elazar. And today, actually, we're going to have that confusion. So please stay tuned today. Listen carefully to Eliezer versus Elazar. And we have a Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is the direct contrast to the first Mishnah of the Masechta, meaning you go back all the way to the first Mishnah of the Masechta, Shammai Omer Kol Anashim Dayin Shaitan, where Shammai is of the opinion that when it comes to any woman, Dayin Shaitan, meaning when she starts seeing Dam Nida, so she's Nida now. Not a minute earlier, not an hour earlier, not 24 hours earlier. In other words, from this point forward, going forward, she's a Nida from this point forward, and Lemafreya, we're not Matame anything. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that there's a 24-hour Lemafreya, a retroactive clock going back 24 hours, where anything she comes into contact with is going to become Tame, but that's the din in Tumah Tahara. That's not a din in Issa Heter. Does not make her husband a Bol Nida for the past 24 hours. Right, I think we talked about that. If not, I'm making it clear now. That's only a Tumah V'Tahara halacha. Fine. That's what we saw in the first Mishnah. So Shammai Omer Kol Hanashim Dayin Shaitan. Shammai says all the women are Dayin Shaitan. And then we learned the Mishnah yesterday into yesterday's Daf Zayin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Arba Nashim Dayin Shaitan. No, not every woman. Only four women. Meaning four women who have less blood. Only those four women are Dain Shaita, meaning because they're Mesulak is Damin, because they have a production of less blood, so therefore for them, we could say that when they bleed, it's Mamish now, and it's not any time earlier. But for a regular woman on a regular cycle, so we're going to go back and make her Tame for the past 24 hours. Again, that's a Din Derabanan, but still, Rabbi Eliezer seriously limits it.
Who are isn't it a
Chumra? It's a Chumra Derabanan. The whole idea is a Chumra Derabanan.
Because if you count the 25 before, then you only have 6 more days to go.
No, it doesn't. No. It does not affect her count.
Does that count for her count?
No. It doesn't affect her count. It would only be. It only creates tumah. But her minion is totally unaffected.
That's a good trick.
Yeah. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says, which four women? So that's yesterday's Mishnah. So the Mishnah was talking about the Besula, the Mu'baris, the Menika, Zekena. Okay, and actually we're going to come back and we're going to try to qualify those a little bit better, but that's what we saw back in the Mishnah. Now, it's interesting because who are we talking about? We're talking about Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Gemara, is it yesterday's daf or is it today's daf? We're calling him a Shemuti? That was yesterday's daf. Okay, good. So the Gemara yesterday said it's a little bit novel that the halacha falls like him. In fact, remember the give and take between him and Rabbi Yeshua yesterday? Rabbi Yeshua says, well, ani lo shamati ala besula. Right? I heard only the case of besula. And besula, by the way, doesn't mean virgin. Besula over here means a woman who never started menstruating as of yet and is not in the age where she's going to start menstruating. So Rabbi Yeshua said, I only heard besula. And Rabbi Eliezer says, good, I'm glad you only heard besula, but I heard more. And the Mishnah says, halacha Rabbi Eliezer, that the halacha, in fact, follows like Rabbi Eliezer. To which the Gemara then prompted and saying, this goes still yesterday's daf, we're still reviewing, that there are four times where we paskin the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. Four times. And the Gemara yesterday went through the four times that we do paskin the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. Obviously, it's a novelty to paskin the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara, in fact, yesterday said that while he was alive, we did not rule the halacha like him, even though, what an interesting Gemara, even though we knew the halacha, he was correct. Even though the halacha should have followed like him, but while he was alive, we did not follow the halacha like him. Now, why not? So remember what we said yesterday? Because while he was alive, he was a Shemuti. Right? We'll get to that, what that means in just a second. While he was alive, he was a Shemuti. So once we give him an approbation, a haskama, on this particular halacha, so then people are going to start thinking, oh, it must be the halacha like him in other places as well. And they're going to start following him in all other areas of Shas and halacha. So they while he was alive, they couldn't, and furthermore, right, there's one other point, Why not simply say the halacha is like him over here, and just and at the same time publicly reprimand and rebuke his other positions? So the Gemara says we couldn't do that as well out of respect for Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning we had so much respect for Rabbi Eliezer, we couldn't accept his position over here and tell everyone, broadcast to everybody, you know, but we don't follow the halacha like him anywhere else, be out of respect for Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore we took a somewhat of a strange position. While he was alive, we followed like Rabbi Yoshua, and then after he died, then we passed like Rabbi Eliezer. And at the same time, we were able to then protest all of his other positions. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that as well, meaning that there's still an issue of kibbut even after the person's dead. Okay, that was the Gemara yesterday. And what does it mean when the Gemara says that he was a shemuti? So that I'm sure we said over yesterday. Tosfos brings down two opinions: the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says he was excommunicated. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells a story where Rabbi Eliezer argues with the Chachamim, and he's strong in his position, and he stays strong in his position. And he was so reluctant to change his position, even though it seems like he had very good backing. In other words, he was backed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, right? We're all familiar with the story, right? The Baskel comes out and says, and then our response is, Vol b'shamayim, look, I'm very happy that that's what you think. We say to the Baskel, but that's not how Allah has decided. Allah has decided by us here on this earth. Good. So and so he was put in chayrim. So that's one opinion of what it means when it says that he was a shemuti. The other opinion, which is quoted by Rashi's grandsons, Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam, both say that shemuti means that he was a student of Shammai, right? And they have a Yerushalmi that supports them as well, that he was a student of Shammai, and that's what it means that it says that Rabbi Eliezer was a shemuti. Okay, so far so good. No, they didn't like the language that's used. Meaning, right, the language that the Gemara uses, if you take a look at the top of the Tosvos, Shemuti uperish Rashi shebarchu v'kashe demistama lo hayamaskyo lashon shamta. Right, that's just not a language that would be used. In fact, v'maisa gufe depeper gazav eina maskyo el lashon bracha. In fact, when you look at the Gemara itself, bringing down the story of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, the word that's used over there in the Gemara is not shamta or shemuti. It's bracha. Bracha meaning used euphemistically. So Tosfos is just bothered by the language. Why would the Gemara over here choose the language of shamta? Okay. All right. That takes us all up to today. And now we continue in the Gemara. And we are Vesuleka. Right? Yeah. All I need to do is just find the place and we're good. Bottom line. There we go. Vesuleka. There really are no other times where we paskin the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. Did not. The Aika did not. So the Gemara says, how about this? How about a Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer? Omer melamdim esa kitana shetema'ein bo. We teach the girl to do miyun. Right. Okay. So just a little bit of background, just so we understand the case over here. I'm going to go through this hopefully quickly. We know that a girl can get married off. A girl who's underage, who's a katana, can be married off by her father, but only by her father. Min haTorah, the father is the only one who has the right to marry her off, even though she doesn't have das, but the father provides das for her, and she's going to get married through the father. Okay? Via the father. Father accepts a kesef kedushin. Okay. What if the father's not alive anymore? So, again, getting married, especially even at a very young age, at that time, at the time of the Chumash and the time of the Gemara, was extraordinarily important. It was protection for the girl. It was a means of supporting her. So what if the father's no longer alive? So the Chachamim allowed either her brother or her mother to perform Kiddushin. But this is not a Torah-recognized marriage. This is only a rabbinic marriage. And so, therefore, she has an option where she can opt out of the marriage. This is an interesting discussion throughout Gemara. It's called miyun. The word miyun just simply means refusal. And it is basically our version of annulment. Right? We don't, right? Our religion, that we don't annul a marriage. A marriage is, right, you get a divorce. In this particular case, because the marriage is only midrabanan, so therefore she can, at 12 years of age, if she would like to, do miyun. She could just simply say, no thank you. And by her doing miyun, That retroactively uproots the entire marriage. It's as if the two of them were never married. Okay.
And she can do it even after she's married.
After. What do you mean? After she's 12 and then she willingly has relations with her husband, that solidifies the marriage on a Torah level.
Right.
Okay. Now.
What do you do with the child?
Let's assume there's no child because she was under 12 years of age. Right. What do you right and all the bios? Okay, it's strange. The whole thing is strange, but that's it's a halachic reality.
Cohen can marry, can
Cohen can, yes, Cohen can, Cohen Gadol can't. But Cohen can.
Yeah,
she's not a grusha. She's not a grusha.
But she's not a basula.
She's not a basula. Okay, so now what's happening? Meaning and there's a certain circumstance where we're basically going to whisper in this little girl's ear, do me in. Meaning now is a good time to do me in. When in the world would be a good time to do me in? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi fills in the case for us. Perek Beis Shamesh B'Yavamos. He quotes the Gemara in Yavamos. It's late in Yavamos. Right? Beis Achim Nisuin Beis Achayos. Yisamos Achas Gedol Achas Katana. Two brothers married to two sisters, right? We're in Yibum talk right now. Umeis Ba'ala Shel Gedola. So now, the husband of the Gedola dies, and now Venimsa Zekuka LeYabam, and now she has a Zika. And her Zika is her connection in order to do the mitzvah of Yibam, and her Zika is obviously with her brother-in-law. But think this through now, meaning what an interesting conundrum, where you have now the surviving brother who's rabbinically married to his wife and biblically Zekuk to his sister-in-law. To his brother's widow, right? So now, in other words, I know emotionally, obviously, he has more of an attachment to his wife, but let's not be emotional. Let's just be halachic. Halachically, who is she more connect? Who is he more connected to? Right, right. To the Yavama, who he has a Zika with, and his Zika is Daraisa, and his wife is just a Rabbanan. Okay, so now let's make a halachic decision, not an emotional decision. Okay, lose a wife who's only married to him rabbinically.
Yes,
again. Right. So now the problem is like as follows: meaning he can't just simply do the mitzvah of Yibum because his sister-in-law in two ways. Number one, it was his brother's wife, but number two, it's also his wife's sister.
Right.
Yibum can only override one erva, and that's Eshesach. It can't override any of the other arayos. First, so get in Yavamos. So now what? So now what we're going to do in this case, because we have this opportunity, is basically go over to the Kitana and say to her, now is an excellent time to do Mion. And we have her do Mion, and now that totally annuls the marriage between her and her husband, and now her husband has a free and clear path to do the mitzvah of Yibum.
What are they going to do to family relations?
It'll be messy. It'll be emotionally messy. Everyone, of course, who's halachically sensitive and halachically aware is going to be totally understanding of the situation. I made that up. Okay,
but she doesn't have to.
Malamde. Malamde means that we encourage. We coach. We coach me in. Okay.
And he cannot do chalitza.
I mean, he could. But he could do a chalitza. But if it's Yibum versus chalitza, Yibum is a preferred.
But you mean he could do chalitza even?
Presumably, the problem is then that his wife is achos chalutza. So,
yeah.
Okay, this is Yibum talk. Exactly. Come back to me in Yavamos, and we'll have more discussion about this. But that would be a problem because then his wife would be achos chalutza. So, okay. Anyway, in the meantime, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halachik Rabbi Eliezer. Good. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And on top of that, now we're saying that Halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer. So now, and to exacerbate the problem, this is a statement made by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who on yesterday's daf was the one who brought us that the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in four occasions. So now it's not limited to four. Now we got a fifth. So ki amashmo alach Rabbi Elazar bedala b'seder tahara savah b'shar seder and mikatuva. So the Gemara says misunderstood, meaning right now you have to remember we're learning Masechta Nida, so we're learning seder taharos. When we're saying the halacha is following Rabbi Eliezer, that's only four times the seder taharos. You go to the rest of Shas, right? The other five sederim of Shas. Okay, you'll find we follow like Rabbi Eliezer there in more than one location, and more than other locations. But here in Seder Taharos, four times and four times only. And the Gemara says, and of course we're right. And I'll tell you why we're right. Because let's take a look at another Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, wrote of an Asal Asal, Hasam and Starfal Achala. You need to make a certain amount of dough in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Chala. My wife tells me, 5 pounds. Okay, that's it. The Rebbe sent us pastant. Okay, so five pounds of flour, and well, 5 pounds I think with a bracha, right? Less than 5 pounds I think you take off without a bracha, but not
5 pounds of flour though.
5 pounds of flour, so says my wife.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so anyway, so the that's with a bracha, even less without a bracha. Anyway, in the meantime, okay. So in other words, you have to make a batch of dough using a certain amount of flour. Good. Now, what if you don't make enough? Why don't you have enough flour, but you made a challah, and you made another challah, and as it turns out, the aggregate total of challahs that you made now is the requisite amount that you need in order to be mafresh challah. So, afarodev and no saying lasal, hasal mitzar for the challah. So, you put a challah in the basket, you put another challah in the basket. Each time you made a challah, it was not enough dough. But then when you look at the sum total of all the challahs that you just made, by the way, I say challahs, yeah, it's confusing talk, meaning that's what we call our bread on Shabbos, but I mean bread. Okay. I don't want to try to confuse. Anyway, so hasal mitzar from the challah. So the basket will combine all of them in order to meet the required amount of flour that you need in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of challah. And that's a Mishnah in Challah. Now, Challah is in which Seder? Seder Zeraim. Okay. So now, V'am Rav Yehuda Mishmol, Achikah Rabbi Eliezer. Boom. And we have on that Rav Yehuda Mishmol saying the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer. So good. So now, Shema Minah, so good. So what do you see from here? Perfect. That there are many other times throughout Shas that we pass on like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Umay ume dahai mehai. So the Gemara now, good. So we have a Mishnah that we quoted in Yevamos. We have a Mishnah that we quoted in Challah. Good. There are other times in Shas that we passing like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Why did you need to bring a second Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah in Yevamos was good. We got it. Then you brought another Mishnah in Challah. So the Gemara says, Mishum dekai Rabbi Elazar kavasei. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because had it just been the Mishnah Yevamos, it's not just Rabbi Eliezer. Here we go. It's also Rabbi Elazar. Okay, not to confuse the two. Another one's with Tana. A yud, one's without a yud. Huh?
Another Tana.
Whose name is Rabbi Elazar. And he also follows this position as well. So I might have thought that psak of the Mishnah Yevamos about Malamdim Esetinokos Lama'in, so that may be not a function of Rabbi Eliezer, maybe just simply Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara says, and I'll quote you a Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer Malamdim Esetinokos Shetam Shetamayin Bo. Umi Kai Vaha Itzruchum Esrachin Alei. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Velo Damian Lahadade. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you go back to Yevamos, more Yevamos talk, and you look up the case over there with Rabbi Elazar, not Eliezer, but you look up over there, that was a slightly different case, slightly more sophisticated case. You'll forgive me now for not going through the case inside. But in other words, the Gemara over there says, but if you go back to your Gemara in Yevamos over there, the Gemara over there said that I needed both the psak of Rabbi Eliezer and the psak of Rabbi Elazar. So it comes out now that Rabbi Eliezer over there is needed in of himself. So Elam Shum Dekai Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava Kava said. The Gemara says, fine, you're right. But I'll tell you what, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava also agrees with Rabbi Eliezer in that Mishnah Yevamos. And so therefore, again, that Mishnah Yevamos may not be just simply a function of Rabbi Eliezer, Ditanya. And the Gemara says, and I'll show you a Mishnah in Adios, and the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava Hei Dvarim. five things that were testified by Yehuda ben Bava. Now, Adios, what happened to it? We passed right by Adios, right? It was at the end of Seder Nezikin. It's Mishnayos. It's Mishnayos that gives over testimonies of the halach. I testify the halach is like this, and I testify the halach is like this. And the Mishnah in Adios gives us five things that were given to us as halacha, established halacha by Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Number one is Shema Memanim Es HaKetanos. That's it. We could stop right there. We're not. We're going to go on. But you see already there that we have a Mishnah who says that we teach the young girls to do Mion. When? In the case that we just laid out in the beginning of today's daf, where the two brothers married to the two sisters. One's a Gadol and the other's a Katana. So there, I'm going to teach the Katana to do Mion. So you see that we have a Mishnah in Adios. Who is this Mishnah quoted by? Rav Yehuda ben Bava. So again, so if it were just that Mishnah by itself, that's not enough. So that's why I had to quote the Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah in Chala. Now let's go over the four other halachas mentioned in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Number two, Masiras and Isha Alpi Eira Achad. Right? A wife's husband goes away. He doesn't come back. We don't know where he is. And now one witness comes back and reports his death. We believe that one witness. Even though throughout the rest of halacha, we only go based on the testimony of two witnesses, when it comes to the Aguna issue, and allowing a woman to remarry, we accept the witness of the testimony of one witness.
They normally say ein pachos.
Right, ein davar shebe'erva pachos mishnayim. And here we do allow it. And again, you want to see more of that discussion? You go back to Yevamos. You go to the end of Yevamos. Couple parakim there discuss that very issue. Number three, shenisgal tanagol b'yushlaim al shaharigas nefesh. A chicken killed. I think it's an infant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, I say that because
the rooster was
right. Okay, so anyway, chicken killed an infant, and so now you put the chicken to death. Right, is that a big chiddush? Yeah, actually, yeah, it is a big chiddush because the Torah tells us a story about an ox killing a person.
Right.
But in other words, does that translate to other animals as well? Yeah, meaning that was part of the testimony of Rav Yehuda ben Bava, where it was a chicken who was a killer chicken, and they put the chicken to death. Wine, new wine cannot be used for nesachim. It has to be old and fermented wine. What do we mean by old and fermented? So more edus, 40-day-old wine. Number five, al tamish hashachar shekar bedal shavus. And the tamish hashachar, which is offered in the first 4 hours of the morning. Machlokas, we're going to get to it in Masechta Brachos, not that long from now. In terms of when you can daven shacharis, up until 4 hours, up until midday, contingent on when you can offer the tamish al shachar, 4 hours of midday, and the halacha is 4 hours. And by the way, that's the halacha. You can only daven shacharis until 4 hours into the day. Now, my ketanos. Now, go back to the first statement that was made in that Mishnah in Adios. Memanim es ketanos. You see how it says in the plural? Why does it say in the plural? So, lav chada de Rebbe Elazar v'chada de Rebbe Eliezer. Because there are two cases. The easy case is the two brothers marrying the two sisters. The more complex case is the Rebbe Elazar case. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah Adios is actually referencing both cases. The Rebbe Eliezer case and the Rebbe Elazar case. So the Gemara says, no, my ketanos, ketanos tam. But the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe ketanos over there just means generic ketanos. But it's only talking about the Rebbe Elazar case, not the Rebbe Eliezer case. Ihachi gabi shenami ketani nashim. So the Gemara says, okay. But then if you move on in that Mishnah, masin es ha'isha. You see what it says in that second case in Adios? It says isha in the singular. Right. Should have been. If what you're telling me is true, that we're just speaking generically, so why not say nashim? So ihachi gabi isha nesne nashim. V'neim nashim da'ama. Elamid ahachi ketani isha v'ahachi ketani ketana shmamina dafka ketani shmamina. So finally the Gemara concludes, you're right, you're absolutely right. In that Mishnah Adios it says ketanus, it says in the plural. One's referencing Rebbe Eliezer, the other is referencing Rebbe Elazar. So now I have shown you clearly that this position of Rebbe Eliezer regarding Yibum and Mion and the two brothers marrying the two sisters is not just a Rebbe Eliezer position. It is also a Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava position. So if that were my only other Mishnah, that's not enough. That's why I had to go to the Mishnah in Chala and show you that the halacha falls like Rebbe Eliezer other places as well. That was a mouthful. Now we go on in the Gemara. We're in the middle of the Amud. We're on Ches Amud Aleph. Amr Abel Azar Halacha Kerebi Eliezer Bedalid. Rebel Azar says that the Halacha is like Rebel Eliezer in four places. More confusion. This Rebbe Elazar is a Amora. Okay? In other words, the
It's
okay, yes, it's different than the previous Rebbe Eliezer who was a Tana. So this is the Amora Rebbe Elazar.
Why is he called Rebbe though?
Because he's an Eretz Yisrael. The Amoraim? Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael are Rebbe. The reason why, we mentioned this before, the reason why is because Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael have Smicha.
Right.
So therefore they're called Rebbe, even though they're the period of the Amoraim.
And they didn't have Smicha in Babel.
Right.
Because what happened? Smicha,
you need Smicha. No, you need, Smicha, it's just part of the definition of a Smicha. You need to be an Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, no, they had, in other words, the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael were contemporaries with the rabbis in Babel, but you have to be an Eretz Yisrael to get Smicha.
So only those that traveled to Israel.
Yep, correct. In fact, some of the people who made Aliyah,
Rabbi.
Right, Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
Rav had Smicha also.
Rav, yeah. And then what happened? He went to Babel and he... Okay, anyway. Anyway, not to get too... V'chein amar Rabbi Elazar alachik Rabbi Eliezer b'dal v'sulek v'atana Rabbi Elazar amar melam den z'ketana sh'tamayim bo. V'amar Rabbi Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. V'chitem akiyamar Rabbi Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'dal b'sedetar savah b'shar sidra ika. So the Gemara says, now what do you want to tell me? That same thing. Meaning you want to tell me that the statement of Rabbi Elazar telling me that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer in four places is limited only to sedetaros, but here I'm going to tell you that that's not true. Now, it sounds like we're just repeating the same conversation that we just had. Okay? It sounds that way, but keep this in mind. Previously, it was brought to us by Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul. So we only had to worry about the statements made by Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul. Now, in this next version of this discussion, this statement of the halacha only falls like Rabbi Eliezer in four places is brought to us by Rabbi Elazar, the Amora. So now we got to worry about all the things that he said in terms of approval of Rabbi Eliezer. So, Umi Ika Vatanan, the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to show you a Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah in Shviyas. Now, what is subject to the Kedusha Shviyas? Fruit. Fruit that grows off the tree. How about vegetables? Midrabanan. Right? Midrabanan? Okay. But Peirush Shviyas, but the fruit that comes off the tree, is subject to Kedusha Shviyas, which means that it has to be eaten only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, it should be kept in. I take that back. No, it could be taken outside Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, it has to be eaten. It can't be. You can't do business with it. It has to be. There's a certain time frame where you have to eat it within. It's called Shasabior. Okay. Anyway. Not redeemable. Peir Shviyas is not redeemable. The Kedusha transfers.
Right.
Let's say, exchange it for other fruit. The Kedusha transfers to that other fruit, but it's not redeemable. The fruit itself always will have the Kedusha Shviyas. Okay. Anyway, v'hatanan. Haverid v'hakofer v'halatom v'hakataf yeshlam Shviyas lo demeyam Shviyas. Yeshlam bir lo demeyam bir. Okay? Mishnah Shviyas points to different things. Now, Verid, we know Verid as being a rose. Okay, there are different types of fragrances, maybe. Anyway, but what we're going to focus on is the kataf. Now, kataf doesn't produce fruit, but it produces sap, and apparently it's edible sap, right?
It's a maple tree,
right? It's kind of right.
That's barbaric.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway, it produces a certain type of sap, and because the sap is edible. So therefore, the Mishnah Shviyas qualifies it as a fruit, right? Yeshlam Shviyas l'demayim Shviyas. Yeshlam bir l'demayim bir. V'amar epidas mantana katafa peire. Who's of the opinion that sap is considered a fruit? Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, so that Mishnah in Shviyas we've now identified as Rebbe Eliezer. Continuing now in our line of questioning. V'amar epzera chazi diminachu me'avucha. Kasharisu katafta la'ama. Now, between you and your father, we're gonna be matir sap. How? Because you said that Mishnah Shviyas, which is an anonymous Mishnah, You've identified that Mishnah as Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, and now let's do the following. So, Ve'avucha Amar. Now, it was said in the name of your father, and your father being Rabbi Eliezer. Amar halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer bedalin, that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer only in four places. So, once we've identified that Mishnah and Shvi is like Rabbi Eliezer, and once we've said that the halacha only falls like Rabbi Eliezer only in four places, this of course not being one of them, so now, can we eat sap during the Shemitah year? Yep. With no Kedusha whatsoever. It doesn't follow any of the Kedusha of Shemitah. So the imi salem aleik yamar abba halachik rabbi lazer bedal b'seda taharos of abishar sidrei ika. Now, why didn't the response by Rabbi Elazar's son come out like this? And he say, "You totally misunderstood. Yes, my father said the halacha falls to Rabbi Elazar only in four places, but that's in seda taharos.
Right.
You're quoting a mishnah in Shvi'is. Okay, so right, that's not seda taharos." So Elakashia I Mishum Dekai Rabbi Elazar Kavase did not. So the Gemara says Ela Mishum. I'm sorry. Elakashia I Mishum Dekai Rabbi Elazar Kavase. So the Gemara says, okay, that Mishum Shvius, although we've identified like Rabbi Eliezer, you know who happens to agree with him? That's correct. Rabbi Elazar. So did not, and I'll show you the
Mishum.
Of course you're confused. We're all confused. No. In other words, Rabbi Elazar the Tana.
You only wanted to list those.
Correct. In other words, when Rabbi Eliezer was flying solo, so then the halacha doesn't fall like Rabbi Eliezer. But when he's supported by another Tana, in this case, Rabbi Elazar, so then the halacha does fall like him. Did not. And we have the following Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Malam, Demitzikadash, Shetamayim Bo. I'm sorry, and we quote the Mishnah, right? The Rebbe Lazar says, "Malam tzitzan shetamayim bo umikai v'atzurchum etzurchinalu." And then the Gemara again goes back to the. But wait a second, aren't those two cases in Yavama slightly different than one another? V'lo dam yila adade lemishum dekai Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava kavasei. But the Gemara says, "Okay, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava also holds like him as well." V'su leke v'hatanan. So the Gemara says, "Okay, now let's see if we can find other places in Shas where we do follow the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer." So the Gemara says, how about this? Mishnah Brachos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omer Bracha Revius Bifnei Atzma. Okay? On Motzei Shabbos, we do something that's called Havdalah. Right? I'm sure we're familiar. Okay. Where do we stick Havdalah in our Shemoneh Esrei? So we kind of know because we do it every Motzei Shabbos. We put it in one of the brachas, specifically the fourth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. So right in the middle of the bracha of Atachonin, we put in Atachonantano. Good. Is that agreed to by everybody? No. Subject to a machlokas. Where exactly it should belong? Rabbi Kiva says, bracha revi is bifnei atzma, it's its own independent bracha. It's an added bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. So says Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Omra b'hoda'a. Now Rabbi Eliezer says, it's included in the bracha of hoda'a. Hoda'a is modim. Right. And by the way, who do we follow? C. None of the above. Right. Okay. Fine. The Amar Rav Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. And on top of that, Rabbi Elazar says, the Amora, that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. So here we have another place in Shas, not state of Taharos, where, and it's Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, saying the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. So I'm Rabbi Abba, Ha'ud Am, Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Chanin, excuse me, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. The Gemara says, oh, there? That's Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Meaning, again, it's not Rabbi Eliezer flying solo. There's other Tanaim who also agree with this position as well. Detanya, the Gemara says, and I'll show you the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Bracha Revis, Bifnei Asmer, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer, Omra Behoda'a. Now, the Hakashish Mine Tuva, now he's much older, meaning Rashi says, right, Rashi says Rabbi Eliezer was during the period of Rabbi Gamliel,
right.
Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Shimon. Right, what Rashi says, one of those who were killed during the Haruge Malchus, one of the martyred rabbis. Fine. So, and Rabbi Chanina was the son of Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're just going to change the wording, meaning you're correct, right? Chronologically, you're correct that Rabbi Eliezer is of a previous generation, of an older generation. So I'm going to, everything I said is correct. I'm just going to rephrase it. It's because Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel follows like Rabbi Eliezer, that's why we're passing like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, not because Rabbi Eliezer is following like Rabbi Chanina. But still, the point is still the same point. Meaning we have another Tana, although younger, it doesn't matter. We have another Tana who agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. That's why over there, in the case of Havdalah, Pasna Halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. Which, by the way, we don't. But that's a different story. Okay, Umi Kai V'atanya.
But so, Rabbi Eliezer does.
Rabbi Eliezer, correct. And this Gemara is just...
He's allowed to.
Yeah, he's an Amora. He can pass like whomever he would like. Not whoever he likes, whoever he feels is correct.
And it's after Rabbi Eliezer's death.
Obviously. Right. The Hatai in the Gemara says, okay, but how about this? How about consider the following? Or Yom HaKippur Mispal Sheva. On the evening. I know you know the word or means evening.
Yeah,
right. Right. Arba Labra Sar, good. Right. Or Yom HaKippur Mispal Sheva. So you say seven brachas in Yishman Esrei. Umitzvade, and don't forget about vidui, right? Every Shemoneh Esrei is accompanied by vidui, right? Vidui afterwards, right? You probably are going to be confused because in the Chazaras Hashatz, in the repetition of the Amida, so the Shlich Tzibur puts the vidui in Shemoneh Esrei. Don't blame him. That's how the Nusa, that's what the Siddur says. Okay. Anyway, but when we do our own private Shemoneh Esrei, first we daven, and then after davening, then we do vidui. So, or Yom Kippur Mispal Sheva Mitzvada, Shacharis Mispal Sheva Mitzvada, Musaf Mispal Sheva Mitzvada, Mincha Mispal Sheva Mitzvada, Bini'ila Mispal Sheva Mitzvada. Okay, Ba'arvis Mispal Sheva Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what do you do for Mariv? This is our post Yom Kippur Mariv. Okay, so Mispal Sheva Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. You do a short Shmoneh Esrei. Right, seven brachas. Nowadays, the minhag is to daven it a little bit quicker. Right, Yom Kippur is over. People want to get home already. We actually say all 18 brachas, but sometimes it feels like that. It feels like, right, we're doing, say, you know, we're going about it in like seven brachas. So me'ein shmoneh esrei, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, mishum avos avamar, mispal shmoneh esrei, mimnei shetzarech lamar havdala b'chonen adas. So, and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, no, you can't do that. You can't do the abridged version of Shemoneh Esrei because we need the bracha of Chonin Hadas because we need Havdalah. Right? It's like the tail wagging the dog. So in other words, right, we need Havdalah, therefore we need Chonin Hadas, so therefore you need the full 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. In the meantime, however, the Gemara is just a little bit bothered because didn't we say like 10 lines ago in the Gemara that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is going in the same shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which happens to be of the opinion that that it's Havdalah is put into Modim. Okay, that's the problem. So to which the Gemara says, it's Pal Shemoneh Esrei, Mibnei Shein, I'm sorry, Havdalah b'Chonin Das. Amar Nachma Yitzchak, Iu Amar Mishum Avosa, V'lei Lo Sfir Lei. Yeah, if you look at that braisa that I just read and read it again carefully, you will see that he's not espousing his own opinion. He says, and I'll quote, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Mishum Avosav. He says it in the name of his fathers. He himself doesn't hold that way. Right? It is strange, we see this time to time, where there's a position that's taken by a particular Tana's fathers, ancestors, and he doesn't agree. Amalei Rav Yirmiya le Rabbi Zer va'atlo tizbra deman Tana Ketafa Pera Rabbi Eliezeru va'atanan. So now we're going to go back to the Mishnah Shvius and we're going to try to validate who was the author of that Mishnah Shvius. And the Gemara says, how about this? We have a Mishnah. A Rav Elazar Omer ha'mamid b'sraf arla aser. So if you use the sap of an arla tree, now arla is aser be'achila, arla is aser be'hana'a, okay, but not the tree, the fruit of the tree. So in other words, the tree is planted the first 3 years after it's planted. All the fruit that tree produces is now arla, aser be'achila, aser be'hana'a, but only the fruit, not the tree. Now, what if I take sap from such a tree and I use it to as a fermenting agent, as a leavening agent?
Prior to 3 years.
So the Mishnah tells us whatever I make with that sap is going to be prohibited. How does that Mishnah, that's a Mishnah in Arla, but regardless, how does that Mishnah in Arla treat the sap? Like fruit. Like fruit. I feel it, Tamar Rabbanan, I can't plead your Rabbanan. Now, by the way, that Mishnah in Arla is identified. Who is the author of that Mishnah in Arla? Rabbi Eliezer. It says so. Good. So now I feel the Tamar Rabbanan. I can't plead your Rabbanan, the Rabbi Eliezer, the Biktafa de Gavza. Ava Biktafa de Pere, Modele. So the Gemara says we're going to make a very simple distinction. Now, we're talking, you got to distinguish between sap of the fruit versus sap of the tree. Sap of the fruit, agreement. Full agreement. The sap of the fruit is considered sap, is considered fruit, and therefore is going to have all the halachic parameters of the fruit itself. Meaning if it's arla, it's going to be asher ba'anah. If it's shvius, it's going to have kedusha shvius, etc., etc. If it's sap of a tree, that's debatable. That's controversial. Did not Amar Rav Yehoshua shemati beferish ha'amam mi b'strafa ilam b'strafa ikarin mutter b'strafa pagan aser mimneshu upring. And in fact, we have a Mishnah in Arla. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati, I heard explicitly that if I use the sap of Al and the sap of Ikarin, it's going to be Mutter. Now, in other words, that sap of tree, that's not fruit. That's tree. Therefore, it doesn't have the prohibition of Arla. But if I use the sap of Pagan, I don't know what that is, but it's a fruit. Whatever it is, it's a fruit, so therefore it's going to be aser. So you see that this distinction is absolutely true. The sap of a tree versus the sap of fruit. Or what you could say is that if it's a tree that produces both sap and fruit, so then the sap is not fruit, because the fruit is a fruit. And the sap is just simply a byproduct of the tree. However, if the only product of the tree is sap, that's fruit. Did not, and the Gemara says, and I'll show you a Mishnah, that that's in fact a good distinction. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein l'ktaf shviz, v'chachamim omim, yesh l'ktaf shviz, mimnum shekatafo zuhi piryal. Machlokis in the Mishnah in Shviz between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim say the sap is its fruit. Now, man Chachamim, lav Rabbanan de pliga lav de Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, now who is the Chachamim? Meaning, Chachamim is an anonymous position in the Mishnah. Isn't it fair to speculate that the Chachamim is the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Eliezer, but meanwhile they say that sap is considered fruit, because if the tree is only producing sap, the sap is its fruit. So the Gemara says, no, that in that Mishnah that we just quoted, the Chachamim is Rabbi Eliezer. Sometimes Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi does that, where he takes a Shitas Yachid, Rabbi Eliezer, but because it's accepted position, so therefore he couches it in the phrase of Chachamim. So the Gemara says, "E Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'ir Ya'ilan, Ino Sapri, Afilu Ilan O Sapri, Ketefazu Piryo." So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so why were they speaking about specifically a tree that only produces sap? Meaning, wouldn't it also be true if it was a tree that produces fruit and sap? Because Rabbi Eliezer says that sap is always considered a fruit, whether it's the only product of the tree or whether it's a tree with fruit. So l'divrei d'rabbanan kamar lahu. So the Gemara says, well, this is really Rabbi Eliezer speaking to the Chachamim. L'didi afilu ilan oseh peres nami ketef ozeh opiryo. Look, I personally hold sap is always considered a fruit. My shita is sap equals fruit. Good. And I don't care if there's other products of the tree. If the tree produces fruit, it doesn't matter. That's my position. But at least you, Chachamim, give me this. Give me, oduli mi, as be'ilan she'en, o seperos, deketefa zu upir yo. V'rabban an amri le'eloshna. And so at least you can agree with me, can't you, that if the only thing that the tree produces is sap, sap equals fruit. Can't you give me that? And the Chachamim said, of course, no, we cannot give you that. Meaning, we hold that sap is not fruit at all.
Is it because it's a liquid?
How do we hold it?
How do we hold? Good question. I don't know. I didn't look up the Rambam. That's my...
I create some on maple
Right. No, but again, Arla halacha, Shvi'is halacha, a lot of ramifications. I didn't look up the Rambam. Okay, so I don't know. All right. Okay, good. So let's we're gonna pause over here. All right. So we finished up. Really, it was really just the conclusion of yesterday's daf. Meaning, we have the statement made by two Amoraim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel made the statement, and Rabbi Elazar the Amora made the statement, and that the halacha only falls like Rabbi Eliezer in four places in Shas. What we've done over yesterday and today is basically say, nah, that's only in Seder Taharas. In other Sedarim, the halacha may fall like Rabbi Eliezer. Now that's certainly Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's position, right? As he's illustrated in other places. What about Rabbi Elazar the Amora? Maybe not. Maybe he thinks it's only four places throughout all of Shas. We do find other places in Shas, notably the Shvi'is discussion, the Havdalah discussion, where the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, to which Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, that's because other Tanaim fall like him as well. But exclusively like Rabbi Eliezer, there's only four places in Shas. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we go back to the Mishnah. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss in greater detail who are the women who are dying Shaita, Mesulak is Damim. And tomorrow, it's our first introduction to the concept of Vestos. Vestos is coming up tomorrow for the first time. It's good. It presents it well for as a first time, because we touch on fundamental issue of what Vestos is and whether it's Daraisa versus Darabanan. Okay, so our first visit of Vestos tomorrow.